It's December the 16th. Let's read the Bible. Friends, welcome back to this year-long journey from Genesis to Revelation in just 1 year. So, December the 16th, that means we are not far away now. We're only, 9 days away from Christmas? We used to say, you know, so many shopping days until Christmas, but that was pre-Amazon. Now, every day is a shopping day, but you only got 9 days to go. Christmas will be here before you know it. Hope you're ready. The other thing to say is, don't forget, starting on December the 26th, 10 days from now, for the last 6 days of the year, I'm going to do the Bible reading live from my office here, our home in Shawnee, Kansas, at 7 a.m. Central Time, the 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th, 31st. Read the great book of Revelation together. Going to have a great time, you know, with these videos we're doing. If I make a blooper, a big one anyway, you won't see it because sometimes we've had to stop and redo things and so on. But whatever happens, happens on those 6 days. And of course, you can always watch it later because we're going to post it on Rumble and YouTube and on Facebook and so on, especially at keepbelieving.com. But I'm hoping you'll join us, get up early, day after Christmas, and let's just do the book of Revelation together in the morning. Going to be fantastic. Okay, today, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. That's how I learned the closing books of the Old Testament. Zephaniah, book for today, Haggai coming up, then Zechariah, then Malachi on Christmas Day, and then we are done. Now, what are we going to say about this little book of Zephaniah? Well, mostly that people who read the Bible hardly know it's here. I was thinking, what are the minor prophets that are read the least? This is generally the white pages of the Old Testament anyway, but I would say Obadiah, Nahum, and Zephaniah, probably the three books read the least. We don't know much about this book. Let me tell you, I'm giving it the theme, burning justice, faithful love. About Zephaniah the man, most important fact, his great-great-grandfather was the good King Hezekiah. He evidently lived in or near Jerusalem. He was very familiar with the problems of Jewish society of that day. He prophesied during the days of King Josiah. And if we had to give a date for this book, it'd probably be 630 to 615 B.C., making him, I would suppose, a contemporary of the great prophet Jeremiah. Now, his book is quite short, only 3 chapters long. He prophesied during the difficult closing days of Judah before they were carried off by the Babylonians into captivity. It was ultimately after the reign of Josiah, things went downhill so fast. It was going to be a time of idolatry, indifference, child sacrifice, corruption, and impending doom. That's why Zephaniah prophesying about what was about to happen, he talked a lot about the day of the Lord, the coming day of God's judgment. When J. Vernon McGee gave his little series on Zephaniah, I think he may have called it something like Zipping Through Zephaniah. He said this book is really the dark side of God's love. We will see that. Now, here is a simple outline for the book. Judgment on Jerusalem, chapter 1. Judgment on the nations, chapter 2. And finally, at the end of chapter 3, hope for the future. Hope for the future. Now, most of us, you go to church for a lifetime and never hear a sermon on Zephaniah. I've only heard one. I'm going to tell you about that at the end of the reading. Let's just jump into it. Lord, we pray, open the eyes of our heart that we might behold wonderful things from your word. May the words of Zephaniah come real to us, powerful today in Jesus' name. Amen. Zephaniah 1, the word of the Lord that came to Zephaniah, son of Cushai, son of Gedaliah, son of Amariah, son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah. I will completely sweep away everything from the face of the earth. This is the Lord's declaration. I will sweep away people and animals. I will sweep away the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea and the ruins along with the wicked. I will cut off mankind from the face of the earth. This is the Lord's declaration. I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the residents of Jerusalem. I will cut off every vestige of Baal from this place. The names of the pagan priests, along with the priests, those who bow and worship on the rooftops to the stars in the sky, those who bow and pledge loyalty to the Lord, but also pledge loyalty to Milcom, and those who turn back from following the Lord, who do not seek the Lord or inquire of Him, be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. Indeed, the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated His guests. On the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the officials, the king's sons, and all who are dressed in foreign clothing. On that day, I will punish all who skip over the threshold, who fill their master's house with violence and deceit. On that day, this is the Lord's declaration, there will be an outcry from the fish gate, a wailing from the second district, and a loud crashing from the hills. Wail, you residents of the hollow, for all the merchants will be silenced. All those loaded with silver will be cut off. And at that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish those who settle down comfortably, who say to themselves, the Lord will do nothing, good or bad. Their wealth will become plunder, and their houses a ruin. They will build houses, but never live in them, plant vineyards, but never drink their wine. The great day of the Lord is near, near and rapidly approaching. Listen, the day of the Lord. Then the warrior's cry is bitter. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of destruction and desolation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and total darkness, a day of ram's horn and the battle cry against the fortified cities and against the high corner towers. I will bring distress on mankind, and they will walk like the blind because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood will be poured out like dust and their flesh like dung. Their silver and their gold will be unable to rescue them. On the day of the Lord's wrath, the whole earth will be consumed by the fire of His jealousy, for He will make a complete, yes, a horrifying end for all the inhabitants of the earth. That's chapter 1, judgment on Jerusalem. Zephaniah 2, judgment on the nations. Gather yourselves together, gather together, undesirable nation, before the decree takes effect and the day passes like chaff, before the burning of the Lord's anger overtakes you, before the day of the Lord's anger overtakes you. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the earth, who carry out what He commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you will be concealed on the day of the Lord's anger, for Gaza will be abandoned and Ashkelon will become a ruin. Ashdod will be driven out at noon and Ekron will be uprooted. Woe, inhabitants of the seacoast, nation of the Cherethites, the word of the Lord is against you, Canaan, land of the Philistine. I will destroy you until there is no one left. The seacoast will become pasture lands and with caves for shepherds and pens for sheep. The coastland will belong to the remnant of the house of Judah. They will find pasture there. They will lie down in the evening among the houses of Ashkelon, for the Lord their God will return to them and restore their fortunes. I have heard the taunting of Moab and the insults of the Ammonites, who have taunted my people and threatened their territory. Therefore, as I live, this is the declaration of the Lord of armies, the God of Israel. Moab will be like Sodom and the Ammonites like Gomorrah, a place overgrown with weeds, a salt pit, and a perpetual wasteland. The remnant of my people will plunder them. The remainder of my nation will dispossess them. This is what they get for their pride, because they have taunted and acted arrogantly against the people of the Lord of armies. The Lord will be terrifying to them when He starves all the gods of the earth. Then all the distant coasts and islands of the nations will bow in worship to Him, each in its own place. You Cushites will also be slain by my sword. He will also stretch out His hand against the north and destroy Assyria. He will make Nineveh a desolate ruin, dry as the desert. Herds will lie down in the middle of it. Every kind of wild animal, both eagle owls and herons, will roost in the capitals of its pillars. Their calls will sound from the window, but devastation will be on the threshold, for He will expose the cedar work. This is the jubilant city that lives in security, that says to herself, I exist, and there is no one else. What a desolation she has become, a place for wild animals to lie down. Everyone who passes by her scoffs and shakes his fist. Zephaniah 1, judgment on Jerusalem. We just read Zephaniah 2, judgment on the nations. Now, chapter 3, there's a little bit more about Jerusalem, and then hope for the future. Here we go, Zephaniah 3. Woe to the city that is rebellious and defiled, the oppressive city. She has not obeyed. She has not accepted discipline. She has not trusted in the Lord. She has not drawn near to her God. The princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are wolves of the night, which leave nothing for the morning. Her prophets are reckless, treacherous men. Her priests profane the sanctuary. They do violence to instruction. The righteous Lord is in her. He does no wrong. He applies his justice morning by morning. He does not fail at dawn. Yet the one who does wrong knows no shame. I have cut off nations. Their corner towers are destroyed. I have laid waste their streets with no one to pass through. Their cities lie devastated without a person, without an inhabitant. I said, you will certainly fear me and accept correction. Then her dwelling place would not be cut off based on all that I had allocated to her. However, they became more corrupt in all their actions. Therefore, wait for me. This is the Lord's declaration. Until the day I rise for plunder, for my decision is to gather nations, to assemble kingdoms, in order to pour out my indignation on them, all my burning anger, for the whole earth will be consumed by the fire of my jealousy. For then I will restore pure speech to the peoples, so that all of them may call on the name of the Lord and serve him with a single purpose. From beyond the rivers of Cush, my supplicants, my dispersed people, will bring an offering to me. On that day, you will not be put to shame because of everything you have done in rebelling against me. For then I will remove from among you your jubilant, arrogant people, and you will never again be haughty on my holy mountain. I will leave a meek and humble people among you, and they will take refuge in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel will no longer do wrong or tell lies. A deceitful tongue will not be found in their mouths. They will pasture and lie down with nothing to make them afraid. Sing for joy, daughter Zion. Shout loudly, Israel. Be glad and celebrate with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has removed your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord, is among you. You need no longer fear harm. On that day, it will be said to Jerusalem, do not fear. Zion, do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is among you, a warrior who saves. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will be quiet in his love. He will delight in you with singing. I will gather those who have been driven from the appointed festivals. They will be a tribute from you and a reproach on her. Yes, at that time, I will deal with all who oppress you. I will save the lame and gather the outcast. I will make those who are disgraced throughout the earth receive praise and fame. At that time, I will bring you back. Yes, at that time, I will gather you. I will give you fame and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes. The Lord has spoken. What a book. I don't know of any one-volume book on Zephaniah except one. That is, one book just on Zephaniah except one by my friend Rod Allen, longtime professor at Dallas Theological Seminary, great, great Bible teacher. And back in the 80s, Rod Allen wrote a little paperback book called A Shelter in the Fury. That's a good name for Zephaniah. If you can find it, if you could get an out-of-print copy and you want to study Zephaniah, that's the book to get. Fantastic. You remember Billy Graham. And by the way, in these last two or three months, I've been listening a lot to the Billy Graham channel. That's number channel 460 at Sirius XM, if you have that in your car. And it's got about 60 years of sermons and messages by the late, great evangelist Billy Graham. Wonderful, such powerful preaching. And you remember, you know, he was always insistent, now this is the time, now is the day. The day has come. You remember what his broadcast was called, his weekly broadcast, the hour of decision. That's what Zephaniah is saying. The day of the Lord is at hand. Judgment is coming. You better get right with God now. And someone has said, you can't live off your grandfather's faith. God has children, but he has no grandchildren. What that means is you got to come to Jesus on your own. You got to believe in him. You got to respond on your own. Now, I told you that I have only heard one sermon in my life on Zephaniah. And I only say it that way because it's a sermon I preached myself long time ago, back at Dallas Seminary, back in 1978. I think this was my senior sermon. You know, we had to take back in that day three or four classes on preaching, and the last one was senior preaching, and that was where everybody in the class had to preach a sermon about 15 or 20 minutes long, and you got docked if it went too long. So you would preach, and the next guy would preach, the next guy would preach, and there will always be a professor in there. And for my senior sermon, you could do anything. Could you? Okay, it was to show that you knew how to preach, and it was terrifying, actually, to sitting in front of your contemporaries. And then that day was Dr. John Reed, good friend and great man, a homiletics professor preaching at Dallas for many, many years, great and good man. And I don't know why I chose Zephaniah, except maybe I knew there'd be a lot of sermons from Ephesians and from Romans. I thought, well, there's a book you won't hear too many sermons from. And the thing that I remember most, you know how little moments come in your mind? I can remember this, going to the library, trying to research Zephaniah. So hard to explain in 2023, today, what that was like back then. It was 50 years ago. There was no internet. It's years in the future. It's no email. There was no texting, no social media, no cell phones far in the future. In fact, no what we call personal computers. I had an IBM Selectric, but that's not a personal computer. And a jazzy electric typewriter. So if you wanted to research, I mean, today you'd go to Precept Austin or Logos Bible Software. But back then I went to those dusty volumes at the Dallas Seminary Library. Old ones. Still remember pulling the smell of a book that's a generation or two old. It's a wonderful smell. You pull it off and it just has history all over it. Biblical illustrator and pulpit commentary and preacher's homiletic commentary. Most of those were done in the late 1800s or the early 1900s. They were just little summaries of sermons arranged by the texts of the Bible. So you could turn to, obviously you'd have many more from Ephesians or Romans or Revelation, but there was a section of Zephaniah. I remember had a big stack of those dusty, wonderful smelling old books, and I'd turn to Zephaniah. And I found this verse that I preached on it for my senior sermon. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish those who settle themselves down. Now, my version, the CSB says, settle down comfortably and say to themselves, the Lord will do nothing good or bad. I'm going to see if I can come up here. Because back then, we didn't have all these. We certainly didn't have what I'm using right now. But we did have the King James. And this is what the King James said in verse number 12. And it'll come to pass in that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles. That's a great image. The Lord going through Jerusalem and punish the men. And this is what the King James says, settled on their leaves. I had no idea what that was. Actually, that's from wine. Wine in the wineskins or wine in the bottles, that if it sits there and you just let it sit there too long, sediment will settle on the bottom. That's what it means, settled on their leaves. Now, these modern versions say that they make themselves comfortable, but that's the view. You can have some jars that you buy at the grocery store today, and you got to shake it up before you use it because the stuff is settled on the bottom. That is the image right there, who are settled on their leaves. And what is the sign that you are settled on your leaves? They are the people who become so spiritually insensitive that they really don't care. That they go, God's not going to come. God doesn't mind. All this sin and all this degradation, they settle. That's why the CSB says, those who set and will search Jerusalem with lamps. You may remember, in Ezekiel 9, I told you about that sermon I heard in Franklin County out near Rockwood back 50, 3 or 54, 55 years ago. Exact opposite of that. In Ezekiel 9, the Lord says, I'm looking for the people to mark them and protect them, those whose hearts are broken by the sin they see around them. Here's the exact opposite. God says, I'm going to go through Jerusalem, and I'm going to find those people who should know better. And they don't care. They just go, oh, the Lord is not going to do anything good or bad. And here's the prayer. Lord, in today's world, deliver us from apathy. Deliver us from unconcern. Deliver us, Lord, from indifference. Lord, forgive us for getting so comfortable in a day of crisis, in a day of trouble, in a day of harm. Lord, wake us up. Lord, shake us up. Lord, do whatever it takes to open our eyes and make us alive to the world around us. So here's our prayer for today. We're 9 days out from Christmas. It's easy to get so overwhelmed we forget what matters. Lord, shake us up and wake us up to the wonderful things you have done, to the things you are doing in the world today. That's our prayer. Go out and have a great, God-blessed day. Fantastic. So today is Zephaniah. Tomorrow, Marlene is going to come back. She's going to read 2 and 3 John and the book of Jude. Don't miss it. We are so near the finish line. God bless you. Have a God-blessed day. Come back tomorrow. We'll do it again.